Perk of the Eliezer, Perk Mem Tes. We're holding in the middle of the Perk. The last thing we mentioned last week was Rabbi Chachinai Omer, that a difference between the Golos of Mitzrayim and the Golos of Bavel, as opposed to all other Golos. By Golos of Mitzrayim and by Golos of Bavel, Hashem said how long the Golos is supposed to last for. In Mitzrayim, Hashem said it's going to last for 400 years. By Bavel, Hashem said it's going to last for 70 years. So those two Golios, Hashem said how long it's going to be for. With the Golos that we're in right now, Hashem never said how long it's going to be for. Okay. No one turn it off because it's making noise. No?
Okay. Can't hear a thing.
What? Really can't hear?
Can't hear anything. I hear only a sweet voice.
Here. Okay. Now, Golos Bavel was when Nebuchadnezzar came, and you know there were a few stages of Golos Bavel of exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did. That he did in stages, and we said that Golos Bavel is supposed to last for 70 years. So there's different ways of counting where the 70 years begin and where the 70 years end. So the Medrash over here is not necessarily going to touch on that, but it does touch on something which brings us to that topic. And in fact, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis discusses the 70 years of Golos Bavel in the context of this discussion that Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is going to say right now. Okay, so it says Rabbi Abahu Omer, Arboim v'chamei shonim molach Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Abahu says Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years, and now the Medrash is going to give the calculation of how he arrived to the Cheshbon that he was king for 45 years. Tedu l'chashu kein, you should know that this is true, because boi re'e, come and see. Bishono shemolach olo l'Yerushalayim v'kavash es yehoyokim melech Yehuda. In the year that Nebuchadnezzar became king, so the Radal changes it to the second year from when he became king. And that's really what it's supposed to say. The Gemara Megillah says that in his first year, Nebuchadnezzar captured Nineveh, and his second year, he captured Yerushalayim from Yehoyakim. So, when it says Bishana Shemolach, you have to understand this in light of the custom of Babylonian kings, that the year that they became king is not counted in their, it's called regional years. It's not counted. It's counted for the previous king's last year, because they only count full years. So only a year after you became king, that's your first year.
It's not like us.
Right.
We count even one day.
Right. So Nebuchadnezzar, in his first regional year, which is technically his the second year of his actual reign, he went to Yerushalayim, and he conquered Yehoyakim, who is the king of Yerushalayim. Shinamar, because it says in the Pasuk, in Daniel, in the third year of the king Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda, but Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, came to Yerushalayim, and he caused pain to Yerushalayim, and he besieged it. And basically, what he did was he let Yehoyakim remain king, but that Yehoyakim was sort of a vassal to Nebuchadnezzar. You could be king, but I'm really on top of you. So says the Medrash, for 8 years, Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the Malchus of Yehoyakim. And after those 8 years, he decided he doesn't want Yehoyakim to be king anymore. He changed it to one of Yehoyakim's, I believe his brothers, whose name is Yehoyakim or Yechaniah. He has two names. And he became king, Yehoyakim or Yechaniah, and he was king for 3 months. And then Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind again and said, I don't want this guy king. He took Yehoyakim, he captured him, and brought him back to Bavel as a POW, as a prisoner of war. And then he put up another king, Tzidkiyahu. V'achasas reishoni molach ha-malchus Tzidkiyahu. And Nebuchadnezzar reigned over the Malchus of Tzidkiyahu for 11 years. Harei chasrei ad shiloi nachrav ha-bois. This is 19 years altogether that Nebuchadnezzar reigned before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then when he went and he decided to depose Tzidkiyahu, the next time he went back to Yerushalayim, that's when he actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and then, you know, Bavel completely took over Eretz Yisrael. There was no Jewish king anymore. Actually, that's not true. There was a Jewish governor, Gedalia, and he was murdered afterwards. But Al Kapana, that's what happened.
But what was his problem?
Whose problem?
Nebuchadnezzar.
What?
He didn't like, wasn't he getting paid? Or what was, they didn't have college
at the end? So the Midrashim talk about exactly what happened. I think Tzidkiyahu was, when he was in Babel, so he saw Nebuchadnezzar eating a rabbit, which is considered a live rabbit, which is considered an overly cruel thing. So Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu swear that he's not going to tell anybody about this. And then Tzidkiyahu went and he told people about it. So that's what got Nebuchadnezzar angry, and that's why he ended up attacking. I don't remember the other kings why Nebuchadnezzar decided to switch him out. But so it happened in stages. First, Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered Jehoiakim, replaced him, ruled over him for 8 years, then replaced him with Jehoiachin, then replaced him 3 months later with Tzidkiyahu, and then finally he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. This is 19 years into the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, or in his 19th regional year, which technically is 20 years. U'mishinech Rav Abayis, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Esrim Voshei Shana. Nebuchadnezzar was king after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for 26 years. How do we know that? You should know that this is true. Boyere, come and see. Min golosi hayochin at shemolach even rudach pinoi shloishim v'shem v'shana. From when Nebuchadnezzar came and put Yehoiachin into golos until Nebuchadnezzar died and Nebuchadnezzar's son even rudach took over, it's 37 years. Shenema the pasuk. Vayib shloishim v'shem v'shana legolos v'hayochin melech Yehuda v'shem asar chodesh be'esrim v'shem v'chodesh. In 37 years, in the 37th year after Jehoiachin was taken captive to Babel, in the 12th month, on the 27th of the month, meaning the second day of Hanukkah, Nasa Ibam Rudach Melech Babel V'Goymer Es Reish Jehoiachin Melech Yehuda B'Beis Kela. Ibam Rudach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, decided he's going to take Jehoiachin out of jail. Nebuchadnezzar had him in jail, Ibam Rudach takes Jehoiachin out of jail. And the Pasuk tells us this happened 37 years after Jehoiachin went into jail. So this teaches us that when did Nebuchadnezzar die? He died 37 years after he brought Jehoiachin into Babel. Now, so we said that after that happened, he was king for 11 years over Tzidkiyahu. So if you take 37 minus 11, you get 26. So now you know that Nebuchadnezzar died. Was king for 26 years after Tzidkiyahu. After he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was king for 26 years. So if he was king for 19 years before, and he was king for 26 years after, how many years was he king for? 45. That's the cheshbon of the Medrash. And this cheshbon is also brought in the Gemara in Mesachas Megillah and Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Now, there's a few things to discuss over here. The first thing is like this. There's a Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, Vayikra Rabbah, in the beginning of Parshas Acharei Mos. The Medrash says that we find in a lot of ways that Tzadikim and Rishoyim, there's a parallel between the two. So the Medrash wants the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Chaf, Simen Aleph, says that Shlomo Melech and Nebuchadnezzar, there's a parallel between them. Well, it says Zebana Beis HaMikdash Umolach Arboim Shona V'Sehichri Beis HaMikdash Umolach Arboim Shona. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and he was king for 40 years, and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he was king for 40 years. So this Medrash seems to say that Nebuchadnezzar was king for 40 years, not for 45 years. So if you look on the page, we have the Sefer V'loy Oid Ella from Rabbi Yomi Izmir. So he says two answers. He says that, okay, 5 years doesn't really make so much of a difference. Or he says that 45, when you say 45, you say 40 also. So really, it's 45 years, like the cheshbon over here. Just the Medrash, since it's wanting to make a parallel between Shlomo and Nebuchadnezzar, it said 40. But it was really 45. The Eitz Yosef says on Medrash Rabbah over there, he says a little bit differently. He says that it means at least 40 years. Shlomo Melech was king for 40 years, and Nebuchadnezzar was king for at least 40 years. The point is that there's a certain parallel between the two.
It's a true statement.
Right.
It's a true story.
Included in 40 is 45. Yeah. It's at least 45.
For 40 years, who traveled to Shalom between the yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another issue over here like this. According to archaeology and according to Greek historians, Nebuchadnezzar was actually king for 43 years. That's what they say.
Well, he almost nailed
him. Or maybe 44 years. Yeah. But not 45. But they say he was king for 43 years, basically. They found archaeological evidence and they found documents and letters written for almost for every single year of Babylonian kings. And for Nebuchadnezzar, they only found documents up to the 43rd year and not further than that. Hundreds and hundreds of documents, and all of a sudden, 44, there's no 44. So what do we do with that? So this is a very interesting book that came out recently. It's called The Challenge of Jewish History by Alexander Huhl. He asks this question, and he says that there's a story in Sefer Daniel, that Daniel Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, that basically it's speaking from the point of view of Nebuchadnezzar. That what happened was Nebuchadnezzar basically had a dream he had a whole dream and Daniel interpreted the dream. That basically what it means is that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that what's going to happen is that one day you're going to go crazy and you're going to turn into an animal and run off into the forest and act like an animal, and then one day you'll regain your senses and come back. That's what it says in Sefer Daniel. This is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He turned into an animal for 7 years and then he came back. Now we have Midrashim already that say this, that in the interim when Nebuchadnezzar was out of commission, so his son Evil Merodach took over. We mentioned his son Evil Merodach, which by the way the word Merodach is related to the word Marduk, which is the Babylonian Avodah Zarah. So he named his son after his Avodah Zarah. But Evil Merodach, according to the Midrashim, took over for Nebuchadnezzar when his father turned into an animal, went crazy and turned into an animal for 7 years. So this book wants to tell that what happened was that that his son took over for 7 years while he was out of commission. The first five of those years he was ruling in the name of his father, and the last 2 years he makes a whole cheshbon that Nebuchadnezzar's father-in-law died at that point, 5 years after Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. He says that at that point Evil Merodach decided he's gonna rule in his own name and make himself king, and then that happened for 2 years, and then Nebuchadnezzar came back and the Medrash says that he took an Evil Merodach and he put an Evil Merodach, his son, in jail. Because it was like a rebellion. I was gone and you took as a king. I'm supposed to be the king, you're not supposed to be the king. So according to this, we can easily understand why the archaeological evidence seems to say that he was only king for 43 years and not for 45 years. Because two of those years, Evil Merodach was king in his own in his own name. They called it, when they wrote documents, they called it the first year of Evil Merodach and the second year of Evil Merodach. And then, when Nebuchadnezzar came back, they continued off from whatever year Nebuchadnezzar was up to in his own numbers. So it's true that in the archaeological evidence, there's 2 years that are missing, but that's because his son took over during those 2 years. But really, his whole reign was 45 years.
So what is the archaeological evidence holding that it was like for, he was king for 43 years continuously, or is it just a...
No, so the main evidence is just from these documents. So the documents are dated. It says Yud Tes Cheshvan, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, and this 38th year of Nebuchadnezzar, this etc. 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 For every year they have tons and tons of documents, except for after the 43rd year. So they only dated the documents to 43 years.
Excellent. So it wasn't in the middle, it was in the end of those.
No, it was in the middle. Because let's say he was king for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. Let's say what year was it that he went crazy?
So.
Yeah, it was in 18th year he destroyed Yerushalayim. 2 years later, he went crazy. He had a dream. 2 years later, he had a dream. And then a year later, he started to go crazy. So 3 years after Yerushalayim was destroyed. So the 21st year of Nebuchadnezzar, that's when he went crazy. So he was crazy for 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Right? So what happened was, 26, his son took over for those 7 years, but 21, 22, 34, 25, 26, they still dated documents to Nebuchadnezzar's name. The last two years, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, they still dated documents to Nebuchadnezzar's name. 26, 27, instead of calling it 26 and 27 of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, they called it 1 and 2 of Evil Merodach. And then, in the year 28, Nebuchadnezzar came back, but they restarted counting from year 26, from where they left off. So he came back. So his 28th year in archaeology is recorded as his 26th
year. They ignored those 2 years.
Right.
They didn't count those, like, if he was, like, missing, or just, like,
right.
Disappeared.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's what they do with the archaeological evidence. Okay. Another point is like this. The Gemara Megillah is discussing, we mentioned a pasuk at the end of last week. We said that Golas Bavel is supposed to be 70 years. It says in a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, Ki lefi melois levavel shivim shana. When it will fill for Bavel 70 years, that's when the Geula is going to happen. 70. Now, the Gemara says, how do you count those 70 years? So there were three ways of counting the 70 years. There's three different ways of counting it, and two of them are a mistake. I'll explain. Belshatz. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so like this. Nebuchadnezzar. We said reigned for 45 years. Yep. Then according to Chazal, his son Evil Merodach reigned for 23 years. 45 plus 23. And then the next king, his name was Belshazzar, he reigned in his third year with the downfall of Malchus Bavel. Now, Belshazzar, before the downfall of Malchus Bavel, Belshazzar made a cheshbin of the 70 years. He figured like this. It says in Yirmiyah Ki Lefi Melois Levavel Shivim Shana, that when 70 years come for Bavel, so he wanted to count 70 years from the beginning of Malchus Bavel, from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, that's when the Geula is supposed to happen. So you have 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, 23 years of Evil Merodach's reign, then you have, in the 2 years of Belshazzar, that's already 70 years. So now in the third year of Belshazzar, Belshazzar said, oh, 7 years passed and the Geula never happened. Elamai, Hashem forgot about the Jews, and I'm going to make a whole party. And that's the famous story that Belshazzar made a whole party, and he brought out the kelim from the Beis Hamikdash and everything, and a hand wrote on the wall, Minei Minei Tekele Farsin. And basically that night, the Persian, an alliance of the Persian and Median armies came and overtook Belshazzar. Question: who exactly killed Belshazzar? Maybe could be one of his servants killed it. Could be one of the. That's what Yosefim brings down. Could be the army came in and attacked him. Whatever. But that was the end of Belshazzar. So one way of counting the 70 years, as the Gemara in Megillah says, is 70 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign until 2 years after Belshazzar's reign. That's one way of counting the 7 years. Now, Stam, you should know that according to archaeology, what I said before is not so pashut. I said before that the way Malchus Bavel went, it was Nebuchadnezzar for 45 years, and then Evil Merodach for 23 years, and then Belshazzar 2 years, and then in his third year. That's not so pashut according to archaeology. They write, according to archaeology, they've decided that Evil Merodach was only king for 2 years after Nebuchadnezzar. And then, after Evil Merodach died or was killed, so somebody else took over. His name was Nargal Sharetzar. who is but who they say was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's that name is actually mentioned in one as one of the generals of Nebuchadnezzar's army in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Nergal-Sharezer. He was king apparently for 4 years, and then his son named Labashim Rudoch was king for less than a year, and then the next guy was Nabu Naid, who was king for 17 years, and then his son was Belshazzar. So they have a slightly different story. It could be that Stam, the Seder Olam, when it was going through the stories of Malchus Bavel, didn't feel the need to speak out all the names, so it just said 23 years of Evil Murdoch, but doesn't literally mean that Evil Murdoch was king for 23 years. It just could mean that it was 23 years between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. I guess that's what you would have to say if you feel that this is a question. Yeah. Now the next thing is like this. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar till the end of Belshazzar is from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign till the end of Belshazzar was 7 years. But we said that was a mistake. That wasn't what the 7 years was supposed to be. So what's the 7 years supposed to be? So we have the next mistake. The next mistake was somebody named Ahasuerus. Now, we know that what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar captured Jehoiakim, we said, in the first of his regnal years, and he ruled over Jehoiakim for 8 years, and then in the next year, in his eighth year, was when he took Jehoiakim out and brought him back, put Jehoiakim in as king, and then 3 months later took him back to Bavel. What's known in Chazal as Golos Jehoiakim, or Yechonia, Jehoiakim. So Ahasuerus decided that the 70 years actually count from then. Not from when Nebuchadnezzar became king, but from when Golos Jehoiakim occurred, which was 7 years later. 7 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king. So Ahasuerus made this cheshbon as well, and we're going to see in a moment how Ahasuerus decided that the 7 years is up, and then he decided to make a party as well, and that's the beginning of Megillas Esther, the party of Ahasuerus. So this is the cheshbon of Ahasuerus, Pashtus. Basically, what happened was after the what we're trying to find right now is 7 years from the end of Belshazzar's reign until Ahasuerus's third year, because the party happened in the 30 of Ahasuerus's reign. So we have the end of the year of Belshazzar, because remember we're only counting kings from after a year. Their first year is counted as the end of the previous king's year. So the end of Belshazzar's reign. And then first was Daryavish of Modai. He was king for a year after Belshazzar. And then afterwards was Koresh of Paras, who apparently was Daryavish of Modai's son-in-law. And Koresh was king for 3 years. And then comes Ahasuerus, who Pashtus was Koresh's son, and Ahasuerus was king for 2 years. And then after those 2 years, he decided, wait, that's 7 years now. He decided, well, that's 70 years from Golos Jehoiakim, and Hashem didn't go and save the Jews. Party time. So in his third year, he made a party. And did a similar thing, as we're going to see. He brought out the Kelim, the Beis Hamikdash, and whatever. So that's Ahasuerus' cheshbon. That's Pashtus, how the cheshbon works according to Seder Olam. That basically after Belshazzar, there were according to Seder Olam, there were four kings after Belshazzar: Daryavish of Madai, Koresh of Paras, Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus' son, his name is Daryavish of Paras, or some people call him Daryavish the second, who was actually Jewish because he was Esther's son, and he's the one that made the base that decided they're going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and he's also the one Pashtus that Alexander the Great conquered and brought about the Greek period. That's the way Seder Olam understands it. One second. In Sefer,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If Esther starts according to this account at 70 years, and according to our tradition, which I don't know so well, 70 years
since the destruction and it was rebuilt.
Well,
so how could his son be the one to give the order?
Because
order? Why isn't it him in the year of the party?
Because really we're not counting 70 years from Golos Yehoyachin. We're supposed to be counting 7 years from the Golos of, let's call it Tzidkiyahu, which is when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, which was 11 years afterwards. So if you make the cheshbon, Achashverosh was king for 14 years, which is 14 minus 3 is 11, right? And then Daryavesh, who took over after him, he's the one who built the Beis Hamikdash.
And he must have been a child.
He was definitely a child. He was like 6 years old. But yeah. Yeah.
He said that Alexander conquered Esther's son. There's a dream that at least 200 years
from now. Oh, exactly. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in a moment. But that's the Pashtas. That's the Pashtas, as it says in Sefer Daniel. It says in Sefer Daniel, first of all, in Perek Ches, Daniel gives, when he's speaking to Belshazzar, Daniel gives basically a vision that Belshazzar is going to be taken over by Paras and Madai, and then what we mentioned as a Sfir Ha'izim, like a wild goat or something, is going to come and attack Paras and Madai. We said that wild goat is actually a reference to Alexander the Great. We mentioned this in Perek Yud Aleph when we spoke about Alexander the Great ruling over the world. So he's called the Sfir Ha'izim in Sefer Daniel. But in Daniel Perek Yud Aleph, when Daniel is speaking to Daryavish of Modai, that's the first king after Belshazzar, in the first year of Daryavish of Modai, because we know that Daryavish of Modai was only king for 1 year, or only reigned over Babel for 1 year after he destroyed Belshazzar. So he says, Daniel in Perek Yud Aleph says, "V'ani b'shnas achas Daryavish Hamodai omdi l'machzik l'mo'izlai." I was helping him out. V'ato emes agilach. I'm going to tell you the truth. Hine oish loishem melochim omdi l'poras. There's going to be three more kings for Paras. Voravi, Gasher, Aisha, Gadol Mikrav. And the fourth one is going to be very rich. And because he's going to be rich, he's going to irk people's jealousy and attention, and ace Malchus Yovan. And he's basically going to get Malchus Yovan to be jealous and go and attack him. And then Raman Malachi, Boy Moshal Mem Sholav. A strong king is going to come from Yovan, and he's going to rule a Mem Sholav, a large sovereignty. He'll also curse him. He's going to do whatever he wants. And then when he stands up, his kingdom will be broken up. It'll be broken into four corners, directions of the heavens. This we also spoke in Perek Yud Aleph. We said that after Alexander the Great died, so his kingdom split into four different types of kings, where we had the Ptolemies and the Macedonians and the Seleucids. How do you pronounce that again? Seleucids, something like that. Seleucids, yeah. Good. So that's Alexander the Great. Says Rashi. Rashi is going with Seder Olam in Daniel. Rashi says Rabbi Sinu's. It was said Daniel said there's going to be three more kings for Paras, and the fourth one is going to be very rich, and then the Greeks are going to take over. Rashi says Rabbi Sinu Zochrenu Mavracha Omer B'Seder Olam. Three more kings, he's talking to Daryavish of Modai, the three more kings is going to be Koresh of Paras, Achashverosh, and Daryavish, who built the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth one means the fourth of Modai, which is really going to be the third of Paras, meaning Daryavish of Paras. That's what Rashi says. Now, before we touch on the other issues, let's go weiter in Pirkei Avot Eliezer. It says in Pirkei Avot Eliezer, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Soif Malchei Modei Paras Haya Achtar Shasta Melech Bavel Ushleishim Vishtayim Shana Molach. The last king of Paras and Modei was somebody named Achtar Shasta, the king of Bavel, which the Radal identifies with Daryavish, the son of Achashverosh, in following the Mahalach of Seder Olam. And he was king, it says here, 12 Shana, but the Radal says it's supposed to say 32 years. Shneimar, it says in Pasuk, Uchazel lo yisi b'Yerushalayim, etc. And it says that he was king for 32 years, basically. Daryavish the second was king for 32 years. And the Radha has a whole cheshbon that really the feast Seder Olam, if you work it backwards, so it should come out that Dayovish was actually king for 36 years. He wants to make a cheshbon like this, that one of the nevuahs of Daniel, this is an interesting thing, one of the nevuahs of Daniel where he speaks about what's it called, the Shiva Shvuim. 7 weeks literally means weeks. The Chazal understood that Shiva Shvuim means 7 periods of 70, which Chazal explained means 7 times 70, which is 490. As I was going through this, you probably thought of this before, but I was thinking that that's probably why Chabad Chassidim found significance in the number 770, which was the address of the shul in Crown Heights. Because Daniel speaks about something that has to do with Mashiach, and there's 770s. Am I right? Like, well, if the address was 342, like, would they find it significant that it's 342? Here, this is like a special number, 770s. Not sure, but Al Kapanim, 490 years.
Seven being the multiplier, or the other way around. What is multiplier?
Right. 7 times 70, which is 490, and the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Tes makes a cheshbon that the Chazal understood that for that 490, there were 490 years from the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash to the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. So we know that the Golos was 70 years. So from this we understood that the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. So if you do 420, the Gemara says 420 minus 180 years of Greek prominence in Eretz Yisrael, minus 108 years of the Chashmonaim, minus 108 years of the Herodian dynasty, you get 34. And so the Gemara is saying that there were 34 years from when the Beit HaMikdash was rebuilt until the end of Malchus Paras, till the beginning of the Greek period. Which, if we can't think from when the Beit HaMikdash was rebuilt, which was in the second year of Dariavish, basically it comes out that Dariavish was 36 years king, not 32 years king. That's what the Radal points out. Akuponim, fine. So here the Pirkei Deblozer is more or less going with the Mahalach of Seder Olam, that there were four kings from after Belshazzar until Alexander the Great. They were Dariavish of Madai, Koresh of Paras, Achashverosh, and then Dariavish of Paras. And he was conquered by the Greeks, Pashtos. Now, the next thing is like this. So we said that the fourth king in Daniel's Nevuah is Dariavish. Now Pirkei Avilezer is going to bring a dissenting opinion. Rabbi Tanchum says, "Boy urei osrei shel Achashverosh, come and see the riches of Achashverosh." Achashverosh was more rich than all the other kings of Malchus Paras and Madai Paras. Ba'alav hakasav oimer v'harevi yashir oisher gadol. About Achashverosh, the pasuk says, and the fourth one will be very rich. So now, Pirkei Eliezer is bringing an opinion that we never had before. It's saying that Achashverosh is the fourth king, not Achashverosh's son. So what do you do with that? So really, if you look at Rashi in Sefer Daniel, Rashi also brings such an opinion. Rashi says, "Aval b'Sefer Yosef ben Gurion kasuv shahayu lebein lekayrish shemolach tachtov lifnei meloich Achashverosh ushmoi kambisa." Rashi quotes from Yosefun, which is sort of related to the Svarim of Josephus, that Josephus sort of writes that after Kairish, Koresh had a son who was king after him named Cambyses, or Cambisu. Rashi says Bambisu, which is a typo. And he was the king before Achashverosh. So according to this opinion, according to Yosefun, the four kings are like this. Dariavish of Madai, Koresh of Paras, Cambyses, Achashverosh was the fourth one. And then afterwards we had Dariavish, the son of Achashverosh, and then could be there were other kings afterwards. That's what it comes out according to this second explanation of Rashi, and that's really what it's saying over here in Pirkei Eliezer, that Achashverosh was the fourth one of these kings. Seder Olam, it's not Seder Elam. It's Samach David, which is a sefer from the son, a Talmud of the Ramah and the Maral. I don't have the sefer with me, but Seder Darius quotes from the sefer Samach David. He says like this: in the year Gimel Alafim Shin Sadek, Samach David writes like this: Malchei Paras Novoichu Rabim Bemisparam. The kings of Paras, many people have been confused about the numbers of the kings of Paras. Even though in Seder Olam, as we mentioned, it says that Paras and Madai only had four kings. But according to Pirkei Eliezer, there were more. And he also mentions Rashi in Sefer Daniel. So there were at least five. Not just four according to Seder Olam. Furthermore, Tzarach David quotes from all kinds of Greek historians a whole bunch more names of Persian kings that existed supposedly before Alexander the Great conquered the Persians. So what do you do with that? So the Tzarach David asks this question. It's a famous question. He's the first one to ask this question, as far as I understand. The Tzarach David asks this question, and he says, look, you have Chazal's Kabbalah going up against what the Greek historians say. You know, of course, we don't care what they say. We'll go with what our tradition says. And that's what Tzemach David says. We go with what our thing says. But if that was the question, then that can be the answer. However, nowadays we have archaeological evidence that supports all these, more or less supports the Greek historians over the notion that there were only four kings. Because we have all kinds of other kings that are mentioned in documents and whatnot, and other such things. So that's what this book also talks about. This book, The Challenge of Jewish History, from Alexander Hull. And basically what he claims is that what's known for sure is that a king named Daryavish was conquered by Alexander the Great. The question is, which Daryavish are we talking about? And the historians want to say that it was Daryavish III, who was, as Rabbi Feldes pointed out, about 200 years after the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. And in fact, some people want to say that the Beis Hamikdash lasted for 200 years more than Chazal tell us. Josephus writes that the Beis Hamikdash lasted for like 600 something years. Not like Chazal tells us that it was only 420. But basically what this book wants to say is that really Daryavish of Paras the first, the son of Ahasuerus, he was the one that was conquered by Alexander the Great. And the second, if you include from Madai and Kharabi. But basically he was the one that was conquered by Alexander the Great, and all the other names of Persian kings that we have happened afterwards. Alongside the Greek Empire, there was what he calls a weakened Persian Empire, and those were all the other names that we have. Yeah, you have to look. He has a whole, I don't know if you could call it a conspiracy theory, about how the Greek historians sort of wanted to hide this and wanted to make it look like the Greeks completely after the Persian period was the Greek period instead of being concurrent with it. And he has a whole arichos about it. If you want, you can one day you could maybe try to look at this book if you're marmish interested in it. But this is a question that's been bothering a lot of people. Rav Schwab famously also asked this question, and he wants to look at it. Rav Schwab wanted to say that Chazal hid 200 years, a very severe answer that he was Chazar himself from. But Akuponim, that's the Mahalach over here. One more point before we continue, that if you actually look, Rashi said from Yosifun that Koresh had a son named Cambyses. He was the king before Ahasuerus. If you look at Yosifun, Rashi, it doesn't even say that. It just says in Yosifun, in the Sefer Aleph, in the end of Perek Gimel, it says that Koresh died and his son Cambyses took over. Perek Dalet, it talks about the story of Ahasuerus, and then at the end of Perek Dalet, it talks about how Daryavish, the son of Ahasuerus, was taken over by Alexander the Great. Actually, that comes up in Perek Hay. But it doesn't say straight out in Yosifun that Ahasuerus was a son of Cambyses, which would make it that he'd be the fourth king. This book claims, and he brings pretty convincing proofs for it, which we're not going to get into, he claims that Cambyses is Ahasuerus. Kembis is another name for Achashverosh. So if you say like that, then you don't have what Rashi in Daniel says that there was a that he was the third king, and then Achashverosh was the fourth king. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what to make of it. Fine, let's go later. So we're speaking about the riches of Achashverosh. What was the riches of Achashverosh? Achashverosh set up beds of gold and silver in the town square to show the whole world his riches. And Rabbi Eliyahu Mi'izmir says, why in the world did Achashverosh put up beds of gold and silver in the town hall, in the town square? What was he trying to accomplish? So he says a few different points over here. That basically he was trying to show that, like, you know, I don't care if like dirty, disgusting people, tummy people, whatever, they could sleep on it and mess it up or whatever. I'm so rich that it doesn't bother me. You can mess up my beds, you can do this, whatever. It's my gold and silver. Also, he wanted to show that, you know, in my kingdom, people were so rich that what the king uses and what the common people use, it's the same thing. It's all the same. We have so much money that we could just waste it around. Another point that he makes is that a bed, you can take apart the bed and steal it. Uh-huh. So he's saying that, I don't care if people come and take apart these beds of gold and silver and they steal it and take it home. I'm so rich that even if they steal all the stuff that I put out, I still have so much more. He points out also that Achashverosh could just keep all his riches in his palace and also show off, but he dafka put it outside on the street in the open so that it looks like it's even more magnificent. All the different vessels that Achashverosh used, he didn't even use silver. He only used gold. Gold is the best of the spitz. He only goes for the best. And what did Achashverosh do? V'hevi klei veis hamigdash uklei beis hayu mishtanim v'natzim klei feres shenemar v'cheilim v'cheilim shayinim. Achashverosh took out the kelim of the beis hamigdash. I'm not sure exactly how to read this, but what I think it means is that when once he took out the kelim of the beis hamigdash to like show off at this part at his party, so the kelim of his hat of his own personal kelim, they miraculously turned into lead. Like he had his gold stuff out or whatever. When he once brought out the stuff from the base of English, like his stuff turned into like a lower level of a lower metal, a less precious metal. Shneamar v'chelim mekelim shayinim. The Radal explains that how you read it is like this: v'chelim and the vessels mekelim shayinim. They became different from other vessels. The other vessels, the vessels of the base of English, made it that his vessels became different. That's how he wants to read the pasuk. And the floor of his palace was embedded with precious stones and pearls. Shneemar, it says in the pasuk, al ritzfas bahat vosheish v'dar v'secheres. It says ritzfas in my edition of Perkei Avos. It's a mistake. It's supposed to say ritzfas without a dot in the fe. But Rabbi Eliezer says Rabbi Eliezer, chatz yishana osar hashveir sudeis gedeles l'chol ha'amim. Achashverosh made for a half a year. Achashverosh made great meals or great parties for all of the nations. Shneamar yomim rabim, many days. Shmoinim umasyam, 180 days. His party lasted 180 days. Says the Radal, and the Maral in his Pirush Or Chodesh on Megillas Esther also points this out, that 180 days is basically half a year shy 2 days. 365 divided by 2 is 182. So 180 days is 2 days less than half a year. And the Radal wants to say that these 180 days, this half a year of Achashverosh's party, was in the summer, because it says that he did it b'chatzer ginas bisan hamelach. He made it out in his courtyard. So if it was going to rain, it's not such a smart idea to make a party out in your courtyard. So the Radal assumes that Achashverosh made this party in the summer. Be as it may, the Radal makes an interesting cheshbon. It says that Achashverosh started his party, he wants to stay on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, beginning of let's say, the summer months. And 180 days later, comes out on Gimel Tishrei. And then it says that he made another party for 7 days for the people of Shushan. That comes out to Yud Tishrei. Okay? And then on the seventh day, that's when the story of Vashti happened. On the seventh day. What's that seventh day? Yud Tishrei, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the day that Vashti was killed. Says the Radal, that Yom Kippur we know is the day of Rachamim. The Kodesh Baruch has Rachmanis and Kal Yisrael. And so, what the significance of it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim the refuah to the Makkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already took care of Vashti and made it set up the way that Esther could become the queen before the whole story of Haman even happened. And that's the side of Yom Kippur. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim the refuah to Makkah. That's the racham and that Hashem exhibits to Kal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. The Maral in Arar Chodesh and Megillas Esther in the beginning has a whole arichus about exactly why Achashverosh made 180 days and 7 days, what's the significance, whatever. He has a whole shtickle term. I don't want to get into it right now. But also I found that the Rekeach, Pirsha Rekeach on Megillas Esther also says that the 180 days was in the summer, like the Radal and the Maral say. The Radal, all interestingly, has a pirush on Megillas Esther, and the Radal over there says a different pshat in 180 days. He says, why did Achashverosh make party 180 days? Because Achashverosh was king over 127 provinces. So he said that Achashverosh had one advisor for each month, for each week of the year, or a special advisor for each week of the year, which a year is a little bit over 52 weeks, so let's call it 53 weeks. So 53 advisors plus 127 provinces, each one had their ambassador, is 180 officers or diplomats or whatever. So the Radal says that Achashverosh made his party 180 days. Each day he honored a different diplomat of these 180 diplomats. That's what the Radal says over there in his Pirush on Megillas Esther. Not over here in his Pirush on Pirkei Eliezer. Another point is that... Okay, wait. I'll say over quickly the Maral, what the Maral says, why 180 days and 7 days. He says that 180 days represents summer because there's 180 days of summer, 180 days of 182 days of summer, 182 days of winter. Well, 180... The summer is when things are blossoming and growing, and the winter is when things are withering and dying. So it says that Achashverosh made his party 180 days in the summer to represent that, like, just like Hashem gives a shefa and makes things in the world grow and produce. So Achashverosh is saying, no, I'm like Hashem. I'm the one who gives kaychus to the world that things can blossom and grow. I'm really the leader. And then Achashverosh also made a 7-day party because Knege, the 7 days of creation, Achashverosh is trying to show that just like Hashem created the world in 7 days, so I'm making a party for 7 days. I'm showing that I could be Mashpia for 7 days as well. Achashverosh is trying to show that really he's in charge of the world. That's more or less what the Maral says. So one more point before we go weiter. The Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz in Yeres Dvash in Chelek Aleph Drush Gimel says that this party, 180 day party, actually happened in the winter. It says that it started in Tishrei and ended in Nisan. So he says Dafka in the winter. We had all these other questions that said it was Dafka in the summer. He says it was Dafka in the winter. He has the whole reason why he says that. I don't want to get necessarily to it. Fine. Later. Anyone who ate betara, people who were makbet to only eat food that was tar, they would, in Baruch Hashem's party, they would be makbet to give him food that was tar, meaning that it didn't become tummy. Anyone who ate food that was tummy, they would eat food while it was tummy. To do whatever each and every person wanted. At the party, they had that whatever you want, they can accommodate you. Different types of foods, this is it. That's what's good. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol min ogesh al malchim odai, the minig of all malchim modai was that kishahoyu oichlin v'sheisin, when they would eat and they would drink, hoyu mevin, l'nisheim, gluyos b'sar eva. They would bring out, when they were eating and drinking, they would bring their wives out with their b'sar eva, with their nakedness revealed. and they would be playing and dancing in front of them. So that people could see how beautiful their wives were. Now, we're talking about paras, not modai. So why does the Medrash say modai? So the Radal says that there's a Gemara in Brachos, Rabbi Epstein, you probably know this, that the Gemara says that Oyev Anias HaParsoyim, for different reasons, Oyev Anias HaParsoyim, and one of the reasons is because they're tznuah, tznuis. The Persians were tznuis. So here when we're talking about things that weren't tznuah, so we don't speak of the fact that they were Persians, we speak about the fact that they were mediums. Okay. So they bring out their wives naked to go and dance and make fun in front of them. When the wine came into the heart of Achashverosh, so he wanted to do the same thing to Vashti. He wanted her to come out and naked and play and dance in front of everyone. But Ubas Melochim Haisa, Vashti was the daughter of Melochim. The Radal brings a Medrash that says that Vashti was the daughter of Belshazzar, and says that when Dariavish came and conquered Belshazzar, so Dariavish was sitting there on Belshazzar's throne, and Vashti, a little girl, didn't realize that it wasn't her father. She thought that Dariavish was her father. So she went and she sat in her lap, on his lap, and he's like, hey, she looks very good, I'll take her for my son. The problem is that Achashverosh is not Dariavish's son. So maybe he meant grandson, because if Dariavish was Koresh of Paras, his father-in-law, and Achashverosh was the son of Koresh, so then Dariavish of Modai was the grandfather of Achashverosh. Maybe it means grandson. I'm not sure. But that's what this measure says. Other what?
From some different source, I think everyone heard it that Vashti was Mukhlas Nefesh, the daughter of Melech, and Melech was the granddaughter.
Oh! Right, so the Gemara in Megillah says that Vashti was Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter. So if Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar and Vashti was the daughter of Belshazzar, okay, fine. Now you have to know exactly who Belshazzar was and how Belshazzar was related to Nebuchadnezzar, and if Vashti was the daughter of Belshazzar. In the Targum on Megillah's Esther, it says that Vashti was the daughter of Evil Meruch, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. I don't want to get into that. This whole thing about the years and the names of the kings and everything is like such a complicated sugya.
We saw a few times that maybe son doesn't mean son, but
yeah, that's true. No, but the context of the Gemara and Megillah is Dafka granddaughter. Because it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to wipe out. It's a Gemara and Megillah on Daf Yuramid Beis. It says, "V'kamti aleim v'chrati l'bov l'shem v'sh'er v'nin v'neched nu'um Hashem." And the Gemara says that she'er is a lashon, shem is ksav, she'er is lashon, nin is malchus, neched is Vashti. So, okay, could be that granddaughter just means descendant. Could be, I don't know. Okay, so Achashverosh wanted Vashti to come out naked and dance and make fun for everyone, okay? But she's a daughter of kings. She's royal blood. She didn't want to do that. She didn't accept to herself that she would come out in front of him naked. She sent a message back to Achashverosh and she said to him, "Ish shaita shikur, you stupid drunk man. Im avoy, if I come, v'yuroi see, and they see me." Like this. She said a very good time. She said, "Mimanav shach. If I come out and they see that I'm disgusting, I'm not beautiful, they're going to make fun of you and disparage you on your own table. And if I come out and they see that I'm taka beautiful, then," there's two gear slides over here, either it says, "then maybe one of your servants is going to, or one of these diplomats or whatever, is going to kill you so that they can marry me, or they're going to want me, so they're going to kill you and try to take me. So either way, there's no reason why I should come. If I'm beautiful, if I come out, if it comes out that I'm not beautiful, they'll just make fun of you. If it comes out that I'm beautiful, then they're going to want to kill you and marry me. So it's not a good idea for you to ask me to come out." It says the Medrash, what was Achashverosh's reaction to this? So the king heard her words, and he commanded they should kill her. Why? Says Rabbi Eliyahu Meizmir in V'Loyoid Ella. It says because once Vashti sent this message to Achashverosh through the royal couriers, so now Achashverosh became paranoid. Wait, but she is beautiful. So maybe they're gonna take her idea and kill me, and so that they can marry her. So I don't want that to happen. So I'll get rid of her, and then they won't want to do this. In his drunken mind, that he was thinking that maybe they're really gonna do that. Therefore, he wants to kill her right away, so he won't get into any problems. So he got and he killed her. And then when he sobered up, he requested Vashti the Malka, and he couldn't find her. So his officers told him about the gzera that he made on her. Because it says, whatever, the Radha says that they're darshaning the pasuk, because it says that Achashverosh remembered as Vashti, ve'es asher nigzar alaha, that which was decreed on her. It doesn't say that which he decreed on her. That which nigzar, it happened on its own. The gzera happened on its own, because he wasn't in the right frame of mind when he made this gzera. The hezchel baicha, Achashverosh started to cry al gzera shegozer ala, about this gzera that he decreed on her. V'lam and nigzar. Okay, fine. So now the manager is going to darshan why did this happen to Vashti? V'lam and nigzar ala oisa gzera. Why did Hakadosh Baruch Hu bring about that this decree should be decreed upon her? Because Vashti used to bring out the Jewish girls naked and make them do malacha for her on Shabbos. Basically paid back Vashti. She had the Jewish girls working for her naked on Shabbos. So the gzera was on her that on Shabbos, because it says that it was Bayom Shvi'i, which Chazal understood means Shabbos, that she should be shechted naked on Shabbos. That's what that's the drasha of the medrash. Fine. Rabbi Zechariah Omer, Megaglin Zchus Al Yedei Zakai. Rabbi Zechariah says that we bring about good things for good people. How so? Al Yedei Daniel Shaya Memuchon Nizgagulah Hamachos Al Esther. Through Daniel, who was Memuchan, it came about that Esther became the queen. If you look in the Psukim, it says that Achashverosh didn't know what to do when he was looking for Vashti. He couldn't find her. He didn't know what to do. So he went to his seven advisors, and the last one of the names was Memuchan, and then Memuchan was the first one to answer back. And Memuchan said, oh, you should make a beauty pageant to decide who the next queen is. So the Medrash is dashing that Memuchan is Daniel. And Daniel, he was a good person, so because of him, this good thing happened that Esther became the queen. Now, if you look in the Gemara says that Memuchan was not Daniel. The Gemara says that Memuchan is Haman. That's why if you ever go to the laning of Megillah Esther, so every time they mention Memuchan, there's always a Uber Chacham who starts banging by Memuchan, because the Gemara says that Memuchan is Haman. And the Gemara says that, wait a second, if you look at seven people, the seven advisors that it lists, so Memuchan is mentioned last, as if to imply that he was the least chashuv of Achashverosh's seven advisors. Yet he was the one that answered back. It says Vayam Memuchan. So how could that be? So the Gemara says Mikan Shahadit Kofis Breish, that the Hedit, the stupid person, he jumps in and answers back, even though it's not his place. He doesn't recognize his place. You know, if he asked his top seven advisors, and the lowest advisor is the one who gave the answer. That's the middle of the head, Kufitz Beresh. We also find that by Lavan and Besuel. That's what the Gemara says about Memuchan. So I have a question. If Memuchan is Daniel, like it says in the Medrash, so what do you do with the Gemara? That Mikan is a head, Kufitz Beresh. Daniel is a chashuv person. The Gemara is not trying to criticize Daniel, call him a head. So, but why is it that he's listed as the last of the seven, when it's listing the names of the advisors, he was the one that answered back first? What?
Because the Gemara says it's not him, it's Haman.
Right. So fine. So true. If you look, the Gemara l'shitasa, true. But according to Pirkei Avos, that Memuchan is Daniel, so why does it mention him last and then he answered back first?
The most chashuv.
Well, that's why he mentioned last.
The Gemara can't apply if you just insert. Because it went through all of them, and I couldn't answer. I think it was the most important thing to answer.
I know. So I was thinking like this. If you look in the Pirush Rekeach on Megillas Esther, so the Pirush Rekeach says that Achashverosh had seven advisors for 7 days of the week. Basically, that's what he says. So if we're talking about the seventh day of the week, because this, we said the story happened on Shabbos, so he's listed last because it's listing in order. So this is his advisor for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And he answered back first because it was Shabbos, and he's the advisor for Shabbos. I think it's a partial answer. Okay, but let's just finish off the parak quickly over here. Mumuchat said to the king, "Don't cry. Everything that you did to Vashti, you did it keterah. You did it legally. You did the right thing. And anyone that keeps to the midst of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep his kingship, his kingdom. It says in the Torah, the man will rule over the woman. And Vashti did it to you, so she deserves it. According to the Torah, you should be able to kill her. So you're making what the Torah says. So don't worry, don't cry. You're making what the Torah says. You're doing a good job." That's what Mamuchan told Ahasuerus. Okay.
According to this, you can't live
with Talmud. What?
According to this, you can't live
with Talmud. I don't know. The king sent out messages to all the places of the kingdom, to all the provinces, to do like what Mamuchan said. Remember, Leah is called Ish Sherei Beveisai. Ahasuerus sent out letters that everyone should be able to rule in his own house. Like Mabuchat said, that I should be able to rule in my own house. Void Omar, also Mabuchat said, "Yivakshu la'melech ne'arayis b'sulayis v'goymer." You should look for the king for ne'arayis b'sulayis. Virgin girls. Ne'arayis v'loy kol ne'arayis. It says ne'arayis, girls, v'loy kol, not all girls. Ela ne'arayis yifoyster, dafko, beautiful girls. Shenemar, v'ane'ara asher tita b'enei ha'melech. The girl that's going to be good in the eyes of the king, meaning the girl that's the most beautiful, I don't know why the Marzu doesn't like this chat, but that's what it seems to say, that's the one should be the queen. And it says after that, it says that the Nara, Esther, was good in his eyes. So you see that's what he was looking for. He was looking for a girl that looks good in his eyes, a girl that's beautiful. Kadosh Baruch Hu put upon Esther chen v'chesed, charm and kindness in the eyes of all those that see her. Shenemar v'hatihi Esther neses chen be'enei kol re'ah. That Esther was neses chen, she was charming in the eyes of all those that saw her. Okay, have a good vach. Thank you for coming.